This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of Tuesday's GOP primary race, presidential hopeful Nikki Haley is making a swing through New Hampshire towns this weekend, telling voters Americans need a new generation, she says, of leadership in both parties, sharpening her attacks on Donald Trump and President Biden.
This is the fact that we have a country in disarray and a world on fire, and we need to know that we are not giving our kids options of two 80-year-olds going into a presidency.
Trump holds a rally in Manchester later today. Ron DeSantis, who is dipping in the polls in New Hampshire, is campaigning in South Carolina. In Washington, D.C., crowds gathered for this year's Women's March, the event theme Bigger Than Roe 2024. Organizers trying to mobilize the voting base, they say, for reproductive rights. Once again, lake effect snow proving a challenge ahead of the NFL playoff game against the Bills and Chiefs tomorrow in Buffalo. The Bills offering to pay bundled up shovelers $20 an hour to help clear snow from stadium seats. This is ABC News. Ohio remains a battleground state over the issue of gender-affirming care. Governor Mike DeWine has released details of a new proposal after vetoing a ban on gender-affirming care for minors.
Adults who want gender-affirming care in Ohio would be required to seek counsel from psychiatrists, endocrinologists, and medical ethicists. Governor Mike DeWine said his proposal is about keeping people safe from what he called fly-by-night operations.
That might be dispensing medication to adults with no counseling and no basic standards.
But opponents say this will make people functionally unable to get care. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Ohio's House legislature already approved a vote to override the veto by the governor banning gender-affirming care for minors. The state Senate takes up a vote to override that veto next week. In Iowa, mourners gathered at a church in West Des Moines for the funeral of Perry High School principal Dan Marburger. He later died from his injuries after he was killed by a gunman this month. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Divorce court judges in Wisconsin have a lot of leeway when it comes to setting alimony payments. Advocates are working for a more fair and consistent formula. Here's more from Mike Moan.
Without that predictability, some people might not be getting a fair shake. Custody Exchange, an online firm that helps families navigate divorce, is out with a new analysis of alimony laws across the country. The company Shea Dress says only about a third have a formula on the books. The remaining states, including Wisconsin, essentially give judges discretion to sign off on an amount without a guideline. Settlement agreements often take shape beforehand, but Dress says that's not always the case.
If you can't reach an agreement, because many people who are divorcing aren't on super great terms, and they go to a judge and they say, okay, you decide, what should the alimony amount be? If that's you going in, you have no idea what to expect.
Dress says this can be especially problematic for those who can't afford an attorney to guide them through negotiations. The authors recommend implementing policies in states where there are none and for ongoing assessments of existing formulas. Dress says in cases where someone isn't able to secure fair terms, whether that's the person receiving the payments or the other half responsible for them, it can have a lasting effect.
Having bad alimony arrangements can have impact on each of the ex-spouses, on their children, and it can have ripple effects.
That might include housing instability or other forms of financial hardships. Indrus says while existing guidelines can help a judge make a decision, there's still flexibility to consider traditional factors such as income levels for both spouses, their ages, and the length of the marriage. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across
the forecast,
the Civic
I'm Corey
Media
Hartman.
Network.
For today, sunshine, highs around 12 degrees. Wind chills remain below zero. 6 below tonight, 20 and partly sunny for Sunday. Still a bit breezy. For Monday, mostly cloudy. We'll see a high near 33. Chance of rain and snow Monday night into Tuesday with highs in the mid-30s.
It's 8 at our studios.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back here on this Tuesday, January 16th, it is 7:06 in the morning. Nice to have you along across the Civic Media Radio Network, where Rob from Tigerton says on Facebook, good morning from Tigerton, it's cold. 9 below, a wind chill of 25 below at the home of the Tigerton Lumber Company. I remember times as a kid back in the 70s of being below zero for a week or two as well. Yeah, that's always the best, Greg, when we have to go, you know, multiple days with below zero temperatures. It's why we remind ourselves we don't have huge spiders and all kinds of other critters that they do down south.
Yeah.
True. Very true.
We've got that. We've got that going for us.
Great.
That's Greg is not convinced yet. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us as well. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Yeah, speaking of the critters, I think the farmers are finally happy too that we're getting this deep freeze because the bugs, they like to go in, and the potato beetle, all of that Wisconsin deals with as well. So farmers are excited. You know, the anglers are excited while everybody else is shivering in their boots.
it's part of the season. It comes along with the process. So we deal with it. It doesn't last. What do I say? We're one day closer to spring.
Exactly.
We're getting there.
I stepped in the snowbank this morning and I take my shoes off. So I'm not even shivering in my boots. I'm shivering in socks.
Barefoot, shivering in the studio.
Well, that makes sense because the 7 o'clock temperatures, Waukesha right now is the cold spot at -11. Compared to Park Falls up north where it's 10 below, you got 9 below in Wausau, Madison, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay's at -7, La Crosse -6, Hayward -6, Lake Wissota it's -6. So we're all below zero for a little bit longer here, Brittany. Maybe more than a little bit. What's the
it's
word?
It's rough. I just looked at Waukesha. So you're sitting at -11 actual temperature. Your wind chill right now is 30 below zero.
What joy.
Yeah, that is rough. I mean, frostbite, of course, can occur within about 15 minutes in those conditions. So layer up, bundle up, don't wear anything too tight or too heavy because you don't want to sweat either. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it can definitely happen as you bundle up like the Michelin Man or something. So be careful out there this morning. Of course, we are going to slowly climb today, even into our overnight hours. We'll climb to a single digit above zero, but it's going to be feeling like 15 to 20 below all day because of those winds, still gusting up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. And even right now, they're only at about 10, and it's still creating those dangerous wind chills. So another brutal cold day ahead for us. Also, farmers with your livestock out there, make sure you're keeping an eye on them as well. I know they're hardy, but they're going to need the extra water. They're going to need the extra food. Their metabolism is going. They're going to be drinking a lot. Give them dry blankets, all of that. I just want everyone to be safe, humans and animals alike.
Good point. And by the way, those animals, the hoofed ones, I got a note from a text from Travis in Greenfield asking, was I thinking of equine, maybe, for the hoofed animals?
Those are horses. And,
yeah.
Well, it turns out the word I was using the word wrong. The word I was trying to think of was cloven, and that's when the hoof is split, like, and has a toe. So. Ooh. I was thinking cloven somehow described all hoofed mammals, but no, it was the one, Greg, that you gave me.
Ungulate.
Ungulate, yes, which I'd never heard of. But look, we're all learning stuff here, yeah. Brittany.
Word reminds me of ufta, and that's ufta. How I feel about the weather right now.
That's exactly right.
I use that term. I used to say it to make fun of my mom because she says it for real, and now I say it for real.
Yes, you do.
I'm a prison of my own.
It's like
design.
Like they said, your face will freeze that way if you keep making that face. The same can be said for your language.
Yeah, be careful today. Your face could definitely freeze that way.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yes. When we went to Atlanta last week, you know, they are cowards, by the way. They shut down for rain. I'm not kidding you. One of the places shut down because it was raining. When I told them that it was like 1 degree below zero and it was like going to be like the wind chill be 20, 30, they were like, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know.
Because we're proud. I don't know. I like the bragging rights. We're pretty strong up here, up north.
Yes, we are. Oh, another note from Rob. Watch out for cats. They'll go into the engine block of your car to keep warm. That does happen from time to time.
That does.
So be careful for the critters who might get in. And if you're lucky, it's just the cat, and you can get the cat out of there. But plenty of other things might get in there.
Watch out for something that's an ungulate.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Stay warm.
Will do. Let's see. We also, when we were talking about the Emmys a bit ago here, Greg, we missed a bit of history.
Yes, indeed.
There is now a brand new member of the EGOT Club for Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony.
Mm-hmm. That member is Sir Elton John, who won his Emmy last night for his live from Dodger Stadium, which was his farewell concert.
Mm-hmm.
And
so good on him. Like,
yeah.
Like he couldn't do anything more
in life. Right.
Now he's finally got the EGOT.
And I think he's the 19th member, too. Joins such wonderful people as John Legend, Whoopi Goldberg, Mike Nichols, and a personal favorite of mine, Mr. Mel Brooks.
Oh, of course. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, good. So anyway, Emmys were... they were rather entertaining. Some of us had to go to bed a little bit earlier, but, you know, definitely, well, it was put together very well. A lot of nice, touchy moments, just enough reminiscing about past shows to make it enjoyable. Coming up later this hour, we will be talking to Professor Sam Wong from the Princeton Gerrymandering Institute about those 7 different map proposals that were submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court late Friday, as the justices work to replace the current legislative maps, which are, you know, unconstitutionally gerrymandering the state. We will also hear from Chad Holmes, who comes up next on Bull Falls Radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder as well that we were talking to Christina Laurie in our last hour about the daily newsletter for Up North News, and you can catch that on a daily basis, unabashedly Wisconsin news, by signing up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter up in the top banner and get yourself on there. All right, we were talking about the Iowa caucuses a bit before, and one of the leading issues for people that were supporting Donald Trump in Iowa last night dealt with immigration, despite a rather lack of appreciation for, I don't know, demographics as more baby boomers retire, as there continue to be a need for people to fill jobs that other people don't really want to do, you know, in terms of, say, you know, mucking a barn or milking the cows and things like that. There's never been a more important time for immigration reform, which Republicans continue to block and are again saying, we want action at the border, but we don't want action at the border if Joe Biden will get the credit for it. So they're happy to demonize immigrants. They're happy to not do anything about immigration reform if they can make political hay out of it. And that's where I would recommend to you a great opinion piece from Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner. She put this out a week ago on what's happening in Whitewater with an influx of immigrants, about 800 to 1,000 immigrants and asylum seekers, many from Nicaragua, have been arriving. not all at once. And that's what some politicians are trying to make you think. This has been going on for the past couple of years. It's not just a caravan that made it this far. They're trickling up here to Wisconsin for the same reason they have been for a couple of generations now. There's work to be had. There's a labor shortage. And these are people looking for work. Sadly, there are also people who are happy to denigrate them, just as others denigrated their great-great-grandparents when they first came to America. As Ruth Conniff writes, immigrants make up a significant part of the workforce on the farms surrounding Whitewater in rural Walworth County, and she should know. Ruth wrote the book Milked, all about how Wisconsin agriculture would collapse without immigrant labor. Immigrants who will do the work that few Americans would. It's dirty, it's dangerous, it's far from home. But getting back to Whitewater, back in November, Congressman Brian Stile and Senator Ron Johnson, neither of whom could ever pretend to tote the hay bales needed every day on a dairy farm, instead have decided to make political hay out of the situation, talking all about Biden's open borders when they are the ones who refuse to do anything about it. So right-wing media seized upon a letter written by the Whitewater police chief to President Biden asking for federal aid to help cope with the influx of recent migrants. These politicians, however, were quick to evoke scary, uncertain, even violent imagery, even though the real issue is that the migrants themselves are the ones who are fleeing violence back home. It is here in America where they can walk the streets safely. But they do have needs, like any immigrant community, for resources, for assistance, and local government budgets don't have the funding to provide those services as fully as they'd like. And why are local budgets strapped for cash? Yeah, years of Republican budget cuts and freezes. They are the ones quite literally defunding local police and local services. The police chief there also mentioned, as we have on this program before, the issue of unlicensed drivers. This is a real safety issue, and it's not the migrants' fault. The way to make the road safer is for migrants to feel comfortable getting a driver's license after being properly trained. But Republicans killed that option back in 2006, not allowing undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses anymore. So they don't take the safety classes. They drive unlicensed. And it was that Republican move in 2006 that has made Wisconsin roads less safe. Now, Whitewater officials have made it clear, not just to Ruth Conniff at the Examiner, but a story in the Journal Sentinel and elsewhere, they consider themselves to be a welcoming place. They are not asking to dig a moat around the town of Whitewater. Nonprofit groups are stepping up to provide assistance. Members of the community are stepping up. And they are rightfully asking politicians to step up and be helpful. And instead, from politicians like Brian Stile and Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and others, our Wisconsin hometowns are being used as a backdrop for their very tired and very hateful political games. Tiffany's doing it in the Eau Claire area. You see it in Whitewater. You see it in other towns where we deserve and have many good neighbors, but some of our elected leaders are not among them. And frankly, we deserve a lot better for Wisconsin's long, long record of being a welcoming place for immigrants when done right. Let's pause here. When we come back, we'll continue unpacking the news for this day. We'll talk about gerrymandered maps with Professor Sam Wong of the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, about how we go about fixing the maps that have kept extremist politicians in place for far too long. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota, across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On this day in 1992, Eric Clapton's MTV Unplugged special was recorded, including that mellow remake of Layla that got everybody's attention. It was an album that would go on to win 6 Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year, for songs like Tears in Heaven, Before You Accuse Me, and many others. This Tuesday morning, Sherita Booker joins us, social media manager over at Up North News. If you're searching for us on Up North News on Facebook or wherever, Up North News is admittedly a little generic. So to find us, make sure you put in the WI, Up North News WI, as you're searching. And then you can follow us and tune into what we do and the things that Sherita posts. Sherita, hello. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good, thanks. So as I looked at the stories that you share with us each week, the ones that get more engagement than usual, either a lot of likes or a lot of comments, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that one of them deals with traffic roundabouts because, yeah, there are some of us that instantly said, yep, this is a better way to go, and we deal with it. There's still a whole lot of people that have not positive or strong feelings about roundabouts, right?
Right. So we posted a fill in the blank that said, I think roundabouts are blank because blank. And we got a lot of responses. So apparently you either love them or hate them. Greg Kuhn said, I always get confused and just keep going round and round. Dan Hupie said, I like them, but still look both ways. And Ryan Vintage said, get rid of them. People nearly get hit every time. And I've seen a few people go the wrong way more than once.
Hmm.
Feel about them.
Got to admit, I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody go the wrong way, usually because it's, you know, built in a way that you don't want to turn left into them. For me, the biggest problem has been, and there are quite a few up here in this part of Wisconsin, the biggest problem has been that people treat it like a race. And that, you know, as you're coming up, you should yield because a car is already in the roundabout. But instead, they say, oh, I'll bet I could sneak into the roundabout and still be ahead of them like they're on a NASCAR road course. And that's not how it's supposed to work. I don't know what it's like down by you.
And I think people also are like that because they don't know how to use the roundabout. So maybe they're just trying to zip through and get out of it. But
we
have a few here, and as long as I'm familiar with it, I'm okay. But I have been that person to go round and round.
I've only done that in some larger cities where you have like these three lane, you know, they're three wide. And sometimes it does take a second lap to get over to make the exit where you want to. But, you know, like you note in the article, there are 554 roundabouts in Wisconsin, and they're only going to grow from here. And the thing I like about them is they replace a lot of four-way stops where during rush hours, you could be 10 plus cars back waiting for your turn at the four-way stop. Because what always happens there, somebody doesn't know what order they're in. They either try to sneak ahead or they wave people through even though it's their turn. So I'm still good with the roundabouts. We just need people to use them a little bit more per the instructions, right?
Right. We need to have a roundabout class.
I guess we do. I guess so. Second story. This one's going to come off of one of our Instagram posts, and it's a video clip put up by Kirk Bangstad with the Minocqua Brewing Company, who brews a lot of progressive beers, but he also brews a lot of legal action on various progressive causes, shall we say. What's he doing this time?
Yeah, so they're in the spotlight again, and he filed a lawsuit in Dane County Circuit Court against former President Donald Trump, against him and the Wisconsin Election Commissions and the Republican Party of Wisconsin, in an attempt to keep Trump off the Wisconsin ballot for his role in the January 6, 2021 insurrection. That post had nearly 2,000 likes and almost 400 comments. The comments were anywhere from pro-Trump to giving him props. Somebody, Michael Height, said, "This guy's business is about to take a big hit. It's deep in Trump territory, not a smart move." Whitney Swan Star said, "Minocqua Brewing is out there doing the Lord's work. Love them."
It's so true. It goes both ways. And Kirk knows that, and he loves it. He revels in it because he does see himself as, you know, somebody who's willing to, from deep within, you know, Republican territory, speak truth to power and, you know, file these types of actions. In this case, saying that, well, the Wisconsin Elections Commission won't remove Trump from the ballot, even though he engaged in insurrection. So now he's asking a court to do that. Again, hard to say, you know, where ultimately this will go, but you could tell, you know, from the comments, people have strong feelings. But by the way, for those folks who might comment and say, oh, his business is going to tank, then you haven't really been following his business, because yep. He, unlike a lot of businesses that try to stay out of politics, he is very definitely in it. He always lets you know. And if you don't want to buy his product, then you don't have to buy his product. But, you know, yeah, he's definitely not from the same small business mold that stays out of politics, is he?
Absolutely.
No, let's go to our third story then. And then a nice positive story, a lot of good engagement for a woman named Alakwa Cox, a deaf Native American actress from Wisconsin.
Yeah, so we put a congratulations post to Alakwa because she landed a lead role in Marvel's newest series, Echo, on Disney Plus. She grew up on the Menominee Reservation and graduated from Delavan School for the Deaf in 2015. So it's already streaming on Disney Plus, so you can go ahead and check that out today if you want. That post has more than 2,000 likes and over 500 shares. Most people in the comments were sending their congratulations.
As well they should. That's really wonderful. She had played this character of Echo alongside Jeremy Renner in the 2021 Hawkeye miniseries. And so she gets to carry this on into a new Marvel series on Disney Plus. So just a fantastic achievement. And again, always nice to see people that want to just post up their congratulations and wish somebody well. It's always nice to have that reminder of the happier side of social media, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Sharita tracks all this, all the stories, that content, sometimes from us, sometimes from others that we like to share, to give you a great slice of life in the state that we love. Sharita Booker, thank you so much. Great to visit with you. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
That's not a show I was familiar with. Greg, apparently you are familiar with the show.
Oh, yeah. I watched her on when she was on Hawkeye and liked the character, and they just released the entire show. So all 5 episodes are on there right now. It's on Disney Plus. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of apart from all the other Marvel stuff, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Well, let's continue talking about shows here. I'll get to the Whitewater immigration thing in just a bit here, but watch the first hour plus of the Emmys. I thought Anthony Anderson did a pretty okay job. A good job. I don't know how much of it you saw, if any.
I didn't see any of it, but I love him. I love him.
Yeah, I do. I like him a lot. Really liked seeing some of the you know, kind of the legendary figures that came out there. Marla Gibbs from the Jeffersons made an appearance. Yeah. Carol Burnett. Christina Applegate got a tremendous ovation as she continues to fight MS.
Yeah.
But there always seems the Emmys are... There's always like a couple of hot shows and everybody else gets left behind. You know, so like Ted Lasso, I don't think got anything, because a couple of years back it got everything. This time around it was Bear, which I'd never even heard of until last night.
Oh, really?
So basically, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Bear and Beef. Beef was the one I hadn't heard of at all.
Oh, yeah.
Beef is the one that's based on a road rage incident and stretching that out over multiple episodes, you know. But the last thing I'll say is a lot of times the people turned in the list of people they want to thank and they just put that at the bottom of the screen. I thought that was a great idea. It avoided having Anthony's mom saying, "Your time is up. You have to go." Christina Laurie joins us next with The Uplift. You're up north.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of Tuesday's GOP primary race, presidential hopeful Nikki Haley is making a swing through New Hampshire towns this weekend, telling voters Americans need a new generation, she says, of leadership in both parties, sharpening her attacks on Donald Trump and President Biden.
This is the fact that we have a country in disarray and a world on fire, and we need to know that we are not giving our kids options of two 80-year-olds going into a presidency.
Trump holds a rally in Manchester later today. Ron DeSantis, who is dipping in the polls in New Hampshire, is campaigning in South Carolina. In Washington, D.C., crowds gathered for this year's Women's March, the event theme Bigger Than Roe 2024. Organizers trying to mobilize the voting base, they say, for reproductive rights. Once again, lake effect snow proving a challenge ahead of the NFL playoff game against the Bills and Chiefs tomorrow in Buffalo. The Bills offering to pay bundled up shovelers $20 an hour to help clear snow from stadium seats. This is ABC News.
It's the Packers and the 49ers at Levi's Stadium. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The winner of this game goes on to the NFC Championship, one step away from the Super Bowl. The Packers played a near-perfect game last week against the Cowboys. Can they be any better? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
We're going to need a better game for sure. Absolutely. I think you can always get better, right? That's our mindset. There's always something that you can improve upon. We're going against a great opponent, and we're going to need to be at our best.
As the one seed the 49ers had last weekend off, how impressed were they by this young Packers team? Linebacker Fred Warner.
I mean, they got our attention no matter what, honestly. You win on the road as a seventh seed against a really good Dallas team. I mean, that's enough in itself. And then the fact that they won the way that they did. The thing that was really impressive was the way that they were able to run the football. You know, Aaron Jones has been playing at a super high level. I've expected his game for a long time. We got that mutual respect there. So that's going to be obviously another point of emphasis for us.
That's 49ers linebacker Fred Warner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, highs around 12 degrees. Wind chills remain below zero. 6 below tonight, 20 and partly sunny for Sunday. Still a bit breezy. For Monday, mostly cloudy. We'll see a high near 33. Chance of rain and snow Monday night into Tuesday with highs in the mid-30s.
Right now, 12 degrees.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults. Nothing is everything. SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizi and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKY-RIZI to learn more.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WiscCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Soaring from high above Holman and UW La Crosse, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back live from Lake Wissota. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Packers stunned the Dallas Cowboys 48-32 to advance in the NFL playoffs. Their next game, in case you hadn't heard yet, will be Saturday night in San Francisco to take on the number one seed, the 49ers. That's, again, a Saturday night game. 7:15 is kickoff against the 49ers. Luke Mathers is here. Dr. Lyerly is here. And we were thinking of the song by War, Why Can't We Be Friends, just based on a Twitter thread that you put up yesterday. And you probably put on other social media too, but that's where I saw it, Kristen. And I'm just going to let you take it from here. It was one conversation, but a lot of people have responded to it or connected with a lot of people. Tell us about that conversation that you had over the weekend that somebody else instigated for you.
Well, I love to have difficult conversations because I think that is something that we are not doing well right now. And it is not fostering any sort of understanding. We're all going to our corners and just our beliefs are being reinforced by people who believe the same things that we do. So when I'm working out in small towns, I often will go to coffee shops or breweries or whatever and have conversations with folks. And I was talking with someone who's become a friend of mine, and we were talking about reproductive rights and abortion. And as I left the coffee shop, a woman who was sitting nearby stopped me and said, "Are you an abortionist?" And she had this funny look on her face. And just by using that terminology, I knew where she was coming from. And so I explained to her that no, I was an OBGYN doctor, but I did provide comprehensive care for women, including abortion. And she then needed to tell me that I was a bad person. How could I do that? She went just really on and on. And she wanted to engage in this conversation. And I stood there and listened to her because I hear this even in with my patients who I'm sitting in a room with trying to help them solve their problems. These are complicated issues that are really deep seated. And we have, you know, lots of feelings and experience that go into the way we feel about this. So as she was explaining her perspective to me and I was attempting to just to participate in the conversation, she kind of let it slip that she too had an unplanned pregnancy. So she knew what was happening. And this is a woman who probably had her unplanned pregnancy, you know, 5 or 6 decades ago. It was probably a long, long time ago. So it was a hard conversation, but it went on for 5 or 10 minutes. And I left wondering how she felt going home. I know how I felt, you know, like I do when I talk to any of my patients. But the following day, I went back and talked with her friend, and he explained to me, you know, this is a small town, everybody knows everybody. He explained to me that she had actually experienced some sort of a fetal death, and she wasn't given any options back in the day. So she was forced to carry her dead baby until she delivered it naturally. And everyone in town knew. And the way that she had approached that conversation, it was very clear that she had so many unresolved feelings, so much anger and so much conflict. And, you know, I put it on Twitter because I thought it's important for people to know that how these deeply held beliefs, how these really conflicting things that happen to us affect us, not just now, but for the rest of our lives. And that was exactly what we saw in the comments, people sharing their personal stories, people sharing stories of things that had happened in their families, people sharing lots of different perspectives. I also put it on Threads where it was a much healthier conversation. On Twitter, it ends up being kind of polarizing, but on Threads, it ended up being just really kind of a lovely conversation about the complexity of these issues and why ultimately our reproductive choices and all of our healthcare choices really need to be made by us as individuals.
But instead, we are in a society now where everything appears to be weaponized. Even the way this whole conversation started was with a term designed to be weaponized, abortionist. Mm-hmm. That's not, I don't want to say there's no such thing, but it is a gross characterization, an unfair characterization of what is a much more well-rounded field of healthcare, of comprehensive reproductive healthcare. Mm-hmm. But the word itself is meant to hurt.
It is, but I think a lot of people, when they come into these conversations, they have only seen that one side. They've only been fed all of those toxic words that is their vernacular. That is what they have to use. And that's why I had to stay in that conversation, and I had to allow her to engage with me, and I had to be compassionate and thoughtful and just recognize that there was so much more than anger coming from her.
It's because the whole reason that we launched Up North News, the whole reason that Civic Media got launched, was to bring these voices and bring this perspective to places, yes, predominantly rural, but to all kinds of places where they haven't had safe spaces for some of these difficult conversations. And they've only been spoon-fed one point of view, which often is either, you know, exaggerated or misinterprets or downright fibs about the actual facts of an issue. You have to have these conversations. Mostly I have them on the radio. You often have to have them in person, but they're very essential.
I have them in person all the time with my patients. And my patients make decisions that I wouldn't make for myself sometimes. And my patients come to the table with different problems, different experiences, different levels of support in their lives. And that's why I can't make decisions. When my patients say, "What would you do in this situation?" I can't answer that question, because what I would do in most cases might be different than what they would do, because my life is different.
Right. So, and I've heard for decades when Sherry is on the phone with patients, you know, I can tell they asked it, because she will come back with, you know, "I can't tell you that. I can't make that decision for you. I can only lay out all of the factors." But here's the thing, Kristen, it wasn't that long ago that women weren't given all of this information to make a decision for themselves. Women have really only had this amount of control over their bodies for about the past 60 years. For all of human history before that, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it depends too on where you live. So it may be legal, it may be generally available, but if you live in a pocket where maybe you have a Catholic hospital, you are not going to get birth control options at that Catholic hospital. So if that's the only option for you, and you are going in for a cesarean and you want your tubes tied, you're not going to get it, because the Catholic hospital won't allow that to happen. So it really depends very much on where you live and what kind of access you have personally in your region. And that doesn't mean that you don't have the same kinds of problems that other people have. I mean, 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. Those are women from rural areas and cities, but they don't all have the same level of access to the care that they need.
As I was looking at the conversation, both on Twitter and on Threads, and having this the same impression of the platforms that you did, one of the discussion topics was to basically challenge that woman who wanted to label you as an abortionist. They wanted to challenge her, if they would have been there, to say, "Well, what have you done to this? Have you been a foster parent, you know, for somebody that might have had unplanned pregnancy? Where are you in providing, say, comprehensive sex education to young people? If you're against that, then really, what else are you doing other than name calling?" And I'm not saying this to shame her, but to, again, bring up the larger point that rather than simply being against abortion no matter what are you then offering for all of these women and girls going through these kinds of circumstances?
I think for people who have had these kinds of experiences, the first thing that they have to deal with is their selves, their own trauma, their own experience. And people deal with that in so many different ways. And some people really hold it so very closely that they can't take it to that other level. They can't sublimate so that they can adopt a foster child and they can help get education out there and they can maybe run for office so that they can make a difference. That is just not in their wheelhouse. But I think we can all support each other and we can all listen to each other and hear each other. That's one thing that every single one of us can do, whether we're talking about reproductive care or cancer care. It doesn't matter. We all have challenges in our lives. And to just truly be there for each other as human beings, as neighbors, as family members who love each other, we can all do that.
I think to me, that's one of the more difficult parts to process, is that some people have such a knee-jerk reaction until it happens to them or it happens to somebody close to them, whether it's something related to abortion or something related to, you know, LGBTQ issues or race or whatever the case may be. Is why does it always have to be when there's only one degree of separation or maybe two for you to more fully appreciate, you know, what people are dealing with? And let's try to have that empathy for all a little more often, and not just when it's selfishly right on your doorstep.
Yeah, because you don't know what someone else's experience is. And when I was having this conversation with her 2 days prior, I had spoken to a group of high school girls, at-risk high school women, one of whom was already a mother, and many of who stayed afterwards to ask me questions that I would have never expected 15, 16-year-olds to ask. Questions about sex toys, questions about what to do in certain situations that I, as an adult, wouldn't see myself in. But that was their real life experience. And I was so grateful that they were asking me so that I could help give them good solutions, but also so that I could help understand where they were coming from and continue to remain non-judgmental, objective, and helpful for them so that they could navigate their own complicated lives.
Well, it was put so well by somebody on social media who put it this way. Republicans will hand a 6-year-old a gun. They will force a 10-year-old to carry her rapist baby to term. They'll allow a grown man to marry an 11-year-old, and they'll send a 12-year-old to work in a meatpacking plant, but they won't give a hungry child a free lunch or a safe school for that matter. And it just seems, again, there are such misplaced priorities when it comes to adolescent and teenage girls and young women and to boys and to anybody at risk in all of these many issues, where what they need is information, but we're banning books. What we need is information, but we're putting in gag orders. What we need is information, but we're letting, in some cases, abusive or uninformed parents have a monopoly on the decision-making process. We're not doing right by our society through our children in that way.
And all the things that you just mentioned are not hyperbolic. So no. If you listen to folks from the other side, they are saying hyperbolic things like, Democrats want to offer abortion up until the time of birth and sometimes after. That doesn't happen. They're saying that to get you riled up. But everything Pat just said is true. They are not protecting us. They are not trying to solve problems. They're just stoking this culture war to get us on one side or the other so that they can continue to perpetuate their power. And it's not serving us. And the only way to combat this is to actually have conversations with each other and to try to figure out where the truth is. And not just the truth at the presidency, at the top, but at your school board level, in your local municipality. All of those elections that are coming up in the spring, those elections really matter at home, where all of that local stuff really is affecting you and your family.
And it really is getting to that ridiculous point. It's not hyperbolic to note that some school districts are now removing dictionaries because they have words in them for, like, you know, genitalia or any kind of information. That way they're trying to create this vacuum that only, you know, some people who may not be very well informed will fill. And it's not right. It's not the right thing to do. We're not doing right by our kids or by our country. Kristen, thank you for having that and all the difficult conversations. And then we'll talk. You're going to be back Thursday, I trust.
Yes, I will.
We'd like that very much. All right. Well, you take care out there and have a great start to the week.
Sounds great. You too, babe.
Thanks for playing with us. All right. When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with 3 things you need to know to start the week. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I was sure that I had heard every Grateful Dead song. Why? Because every time Dan and I are in a pub together, he plays every Grateful Dead song on the jukebox that's there.
As you do.
I don't recall hearing this one at all. So what do we got today?
Dan?
It is a very early version. We're talking the late 60s, Puff Wars, and that's what I think it is. Am I right?
Wait, the name of the song?
Yeah.
It's Golden Road.
Golden Road, yep. But it's off. They've renamed it. I know that. So, anyways, it's an old one. It's the late '60s, early '70s.
You can hear that late '60s, like, yeah. Hey, everybody, yeah. We're the Grateful Dead. Ah.
It's got kind of a monkeys, you know, thing in the background.
Yes,
uh-huh. Very it's poppy. Very album. Poppy.
Yes, that's right. Yep. All right, how are things up? You're in Ashland, I assume.
It is cold again. Mm-hmm. It is cold as I look out above the bay, but the bay is frozen now.
Yes.
And there's actually some pretty crazy people out there ice fishing, which is just nuts.
Oh, no. It gets real full real fast. And
it's unbelievable. They were out there early this morning.
Not you, though. Not you.
Nope.
You got things to do. Hey, I should let you know, we were talking to Don Brown earlier in the hour, and off air, he's telling me about how his son is going to UW-Eau Claire, where you were prior to Northland, and that the Sonatag Center that they're building out there and all the new sports venues, the work that you did there was a big reason, you know, why he was committing to go there. So I know you're looking to build up a program up there in Ashland, but your legacy is still very much active as another generation of Blue Golds comes into the pipeline here.
Well, that was always the hopes that we, you know, it was a long road to get there. The generosity was historic. But these are facilities that are game changers for the institution, not just as an athletic piece, but as a whole recruiting piece to the regular student that becomes attractive. You've got an event center that you could actually be there for a Toby Keith concert one day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it adds so much to the campus atmosphere, similar to Madison, with those type of facilities. So it is game changer. Good to hear that kind of feedback. And they should be in pretty good shape moving forward as an institution and an athletic department.
And so what's the latest from your current role up there at Northland College?
Well, I'm entertaining bids right now with some major construction firms to add about a $5.5 million, $6 million addition onto the building. With starting wrestling, we need a wrestling room. We need locker rooms. And then the next piece is part of the project is football locker room and offices so we can reinstate football. So those are the main things. That's worth about 130 bodies. And we're all about enrollment as Eau Claire is. It is a difficult times in higher ed for the next 5 to 7 years. Because of the enrollment drops everywhere across the country due to the birth rate dropping from 08. So everybody's fighting for the students because there's less of them. Mm-hmm. And this is another way that Northland can stay alive and thrive with these type of facilities.
All right, let's go to sports at kind of a bigger level here. In fact, let's do the Packers last. I'll tell folks that the Bucks play at Detroit. They're actually got two on the road at Detroit Saturday afternoon and Monday night. Check out Civic Media to find out what stations you can catch the game on there. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team will host Indiana at the Kohl Center tonight at 7:30. The 17th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is at St. John's on Saturday. The Badger women host Minnesota next week Tuesday. The Marquette women host number 9 UConn next week Tuesday. The Badger men's hockey team is off this weekend. The Badger women's hockey team, number 2 in the country, is in Mankato to play Minnesota State on Friday and Saturday. And, Dan, I made a note to myself but did not update it as far as Division III hockey goes. Last time I checked, which was a week or two ago, River Falls was number 1 for the women, and the Bulldogs were number 2. And Stevens Point was number 8 for the men, and Eau Claire was number 9. I assume they haven't changed too much in those positions since then.
Well, what they call pairwise, it's a computer program that we're probably most of the NCAA is going to move to this type of rationale on how you pick to go to the playoffs. Hockey has been the demo for it. It's called pairwise. It's all kinds of mathematical figures on how they judge where you're at in a ranking and who makes the NCAA postseason. So I think both of them are poised at Eau Claire to move on into the playoffs. But, man, River Falls, they've got it going on. They've had it going on for many years. That coach has been there. So, you know, good things in hockey across the state. Yeah, I'm actually switch gears on you. I'm enjoying what Coach Gard is doing with the men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're lights out right now.
It's very true. I mean, it is surprising. But I have to get used to the volatility of basketball, especially not just the Badger men, but the Bucks, who, again, as they showed this week, they're always going to give up, you know, 120, 130 points. There's going to be nights where, like the other night, they could only score 95 or something like that. So
right. You
have to ride the roller coaster all season with the Badgers or the Bucks.
So who you got this weekend, Pat? Who do you got?
Well, like I've said before, and some people are swearing they're going to punch somebody if they hear the phrase house money, but that's what it is. The Packers are playing with house money. Yep. Expectations are low. I mean, Dan, you could feel the joy. Even a Bears fan like you, you have enough Packer fan friends. You could feel their joy throughout that entire Dallas game. And I'd love to feel that again.
I still can't believe McCarthy kept his job after that one.
I can't either. I didn't think they were going to let him in the locker room at the end of the game. They're just going to say,
right,
hey, we retrieved your car keys for you. Bye-bye. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the matchup of to watch will be the Green Bay front 4, front 5 of the defense against McCaffrey, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a huge challenge. Their running game versus the Packers' run defense, that I think is going to be the difference to force Brock Purdy to throw the ball. And I think if they could do that, they did that against Dallas. They just got to duplicate it.
The funny thing is when most people hear the name Colin Kaepernick, they think of the controversy surrounding him. I still think of some of those heartbreaking losses. He just always seemed to have the Packers' number. Now, again, time has moved on. He's not there. Rodgers isn't there. But I'm still somewhat gun-shy from some of those big-game losses to the Niners over the years that the last thing I'm going to do is get overconfident.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Pat. You can't be overconfident. But you are playing with house money. That's the best house. That's the best money you can play with.
I know.
So,
and we're going
to – I'm hoping for a Detroit Packer NFC game.
Oh, how fun.
So that would assure one of our teams going to the Super Bowl. That would be great from the NFC North.
That would be awfully fun. All right, well, fingers crossed. Have a great weekend. Talk to you a little bit later on.
See ya.
Mr. Bach, again, really quick at the Laughing Tap.
Jessica Michelle Singleton.
All right, check that out as well. And thanks to everybody in Waukesha for their hospitality. It was great to get settled in here and be able to talk about the town. And, you know, we'll continue getting around the Civic Media Radio Network and introducing you to the stations and the communities along the way. So keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News Radio is back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.
Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
An official visit from the White House to the Badger State will coincide with the anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision.
Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin Monday.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and the rest of the team will be tracking Vice President Harris and her visit to the West Bend area. Find what you need to know here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Asa Hutchinson, who dropped out of